For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Match Analysis. I'm Gil Gross. Yannick Sinner is the Miami Open champion. His second career Masters 1000 title, a dominant victory in the final over Grigor Dimitrov. Final score, 6-3, 6-1. Yet another triumph at the start of 2024 for Sinner. I've said this already, what I'm about to say, but I want to say it one more time, because it's easy to forget, especially a couple months removed from Sinner's Australian Open title. Most players have a hangover after winning their first slam. There are new distractions. There are increased expectations. The field puts a target on your back. This stuff can be tough to deal with, especially when it's all new. But from the moment Sinner won the Australian Open, he's come across as impressively unfazed and unsatisfied. And that second part is key. This was a pretty immaculate run. He lost the first set of the week against Talon Griekspoor. He won the next 10. 9 sets in a row, when it's all said and done, were won by Sinner without losing more than 4 games. He is now number 2 in the world. It seems extremely likely for anybody who follows the rankings carefully or likes to get into the math, and I'm not big into this, but I can pick up on this. It seems extremely likely that he will be the number one seed come the US Open. It might happen earlier than that, but just looking at what we have here, Yannick Sinner is 1,350 points ahead in the race. So that's January to March, he's 1,350 points ahead. Nobody accumulated more rankings points than Yannick Sinner after the US Open last year. If you add it all up, the 2 500 titles, the ATP Finals final, which is 1,000 points, so more than 2,000 points accumulated after the US Open last year. You put those two things together, and it becomes hard to imagine a world that come August, there is somebody with more rankings points than Yannick Sinner when you add them all up. So he seems on a path to number one. I think he will be the number one seed at the US Open, barring any unexpected twists and turns. Excited to get into this analysis of the final. We will talk about Sinner's surprising formula that he used to break serve over and over again. Talk about his approach in the rallies, his serving, my overall thoughts on each player's performance. Before I get going, I do want to remind you about my tennis newsletter, The Draw. You can subscribe to The Draw by going to www.thedraw.tennis. Link is in the description. The next edition of The Draw will come out Tuesday morning, but it's not too late to enjoy last week's edition. There was a fascinating interview with the leader of the Premier Tour proposal. A prominent former USTA coach is concerned about the future of American tennis. That coach is Jose Higueras. Very interesting stuff there. 2025 ATP calendar is out in case you missed that. The Wozniacki-Halep beef is in there. And a nice little observation on FAA's backhand technique. All that and more on last week's edition of The Draw, which I would love you guys to check out. We're at like 990 subscribers, so please get us to 1,000 if you have not subscribed to The Draw. Okay, so this was one-way traffic, this final, but the very start of the match was Grigor's chance. Sinner, probably because of nerves, but maybe just didn't have rhythm and timing yet, but he got off to a very cold start on his first serve and his forehand. Dimitrov had a break point early on. The first break point of the match went to Grigor Dimitrov. Something pretty interesting happens on this break point. It's a forehand error by Dimitrov, but I blame his backhand. Let me show you what happens here. It's a neutral rally, cross-court backhand trade by Dimitrov, inside-out forehand trade by Sinner, and Grigor doesn't want to keep hitting backhands over and over and over again. He anticipates the inside out from Yannick, and he starts moving to his left, and he tries to create a forehand here. But Sinner hit a pretty good ball. It's deep. It's got some speed on it. Dimitrov, as you can see from this screenshot right here, does not create enough space between the ball and his body. He is jammed on the runaround. He's late as a result. Buggy whip finish, usually an indication of that on an inside-out forehand. And the ball drifts just a little bit wide. He didn't miss it by much. But ultimately, this is the kind of miss that you would almost never see from Yannick Sinner. Not because Sinner doesn't miss inside-out forehands, but because he's so comfortable and secure on his two-handed backhand that he's only going to run around his forehand if he knows he has enough time to do it. So this is one area where Dimitrov's backhand insecurity can hurt him a bit when he doesn't quite get his feet around. And, you know, in his mind, he has to make that read, but he's more likely to misread it because he wants forehand so desperately, if that makes sense. And a couple of points later, I think it was deuce, Dimitrov misses the same ball the same way again. Next service game. So that was at 2-1. Next service game at 2-all. Dimitrov misses a forehand drop shot on the first point of the game. Double faults on the next point of the game. Couple of mistakes by Grigor. And from here, we can look at Sinner's first break of serve. We can look at the subsequent breaks of serve. And they happened in a very interesting way. Ultimately, Sinner's scrambling, neutralizing, and counterpunching was too good for Dimitrov today. It was amazing how often Dimitrov was doing exactly what he wants to do and still losing the point. And when I say Dimitrov doing exactly what he wants to do, I mean that he's gaining an advantage off of his serve and hitting aggressive forehands behind the serve. Eventually, usually, ending up at the net in an offensive, attacking, winning position. Like, this is what Dimitrov wants to do. And it's the reason why Grigor has had so much increased success in the last year. It's because his first serve and his forehand are more potent than ever. And I just, this is a little bit off topic. It's a little bit of an aside, but I do want to say it. Dimitrov used to be compared to Federer, right, as a young player. Baby fed. It was always off base. It just was. I always pushed back against the baby fed nickname. What did I say? I said, Grigor's technique might look like Roger. He might use a Wilson racket and wear Nike and wear a headband and be kind of calm and cool as far as his demeanor is concerned. But Grigor lacks weapons. He's got good creativity, movement, athleticism, variety. But there's not enough on the first serve. There's not enough on the forehand. And for as much as Roger Federer was the most artistic player, or at least one of the most artistic players we've ever seen, a creative shot maker, someone who would surprise you with his inventiveness and his hands and his ability all the time, right? There was still a meat and potatoes there. Great first serve, great forehand, and it made him tougher to break than just about anybody else. Now, at 32 years old, I think Dimitrov looks more like baby Fed than he ever has. I wanted to say that. What we're looking for here on these screenshots in this film study is Dimitrov, again, getting exactly what he wants. Effective serves, forehands to attack, and still losing the points. So two all game, I mentioned the two mistakes. We'll pick it up at 15:30. This is a second serve, and Dimitrov here, he is going to get two aggressive forehands, the second being an approach shot. Successful second serve, jammed Sinner, forehand to attack. He's going to go inside in. Sinner's pushed back, defending. He gets another forehand to attack. We'll take this inside out. We'll come forward. And Yannick, with a really solid first ball pass, the ball did not float. It did not allow Dimitrov to really close in on the net as he would have liked. And Grigor has a somewhat difficult first volley, which he doesn't do enough with. And Sinner tracks down the forehand pass, whips it cross court. Let's go to the 30-40 point. We're going to see something similar. We're going to see Dimitrov get a short return of serve, albeit a backhand, and he's going to hit a slice approach off of it. So here's the first serve. Sinner makes a stretch return, which does have enough angle on it to at least make Dimitrov hit a backhand, but it is very short. So Grigor, slice approach, Sinner moving into his forehand corner, very much on the run when he hits this. And it is from a pretty low contact point as well. And Sinner absolutely pops it down the line for a forehand pass. Dimitrov can barely react to it. There were some people on Twitter, because I did tweet about this point in particular, who said that Dimitrov didn't position himself well at the net. I disagree. I don't know where those people are really coming from. To me, Dimitrov is shaded towards down the line. He has not sold out for the down the line, but this to me is a pretty neutral and appropriate positioning for Dimitrov here. And Sinner just clocks this ball. Like, he just absolutely crushed it on the dead run. And that to me is what made this play ineffective for Dimitrov. Not his positioning at the net, but the fact that the approach shot wasn't good enough to draw a weak passing shot. Now, Hugh Clark also weighed in on Twitter, and his observation was one that I actually agreed with. I tend to agree with him. And it was that the slice approach was too deep in the court, that it needed to be shorter, therefore lower, to bother Sinner a little bit more. So, 2 points where Dimitrov got to attack behind his serve, but he lost both of the points. That's the break for Sinner. Let's go later on in the first set, and I'm going to show you this 3-5 game. Dimitrov serving, and we'll pick it up at 30-40, another break point, and we're going to get another effective serve by Dimitrov, two big forehands behind it, approach off the second shot, and we'll see how it plays out. Here's the second serve, enough time for Dimitrov this time to run around and hit the inside-in forehand into some open court, mind you. Sinner ranging to his right, forehand on the run. Not all that good. This is a play that Dimitrov has destroyed everybody with. The forehand cross court or inside in, and then cutting off the angle and hitting his forehand down the line. He has been so good because of his aggressive footwork on stepping inside the court and hitting approach shot forehands down the line. Mind, look at the footwork here. He cuts it off. He takes it early. He hits it solid. He has open court to work with. Sinner hasn't fully recovered to the middle here. There hasn't been time for him to do that. And he's in amazing position to win this point, but Sinner simply steals it. Open stance, backhand pass, down the line, picture perfect. It's just too good from Yannick. I just showed you three passing shots down the stretch of these return games that resulted in the three breaks of serve. And while the slice approach shot could have been a little bit better, at the end of the day, Dimitrov didn't do much of anything wrong. And it wasn't just passing shots. Look at how this 5-3 game started. Again, Dimitrov doing enough to earn a forehand to attack, open court to hit into. This forehand could have been a bit better, but he still belted the forehand quite nicely. Sinner defending with his forehand, and look how deep this lands. That is how to neutralize, my friends. And on the next ball, Yannick can actually take the offensive and hit a forehand hard, sorry, a backhand hard into Dimitrov's backhand, setting up the point exactly how we'd like it to be set up. Sinner finishes with the backhand approach shot on the next ball after that one, but I didn't take the screenshot of that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go to the second set, because I'm not done showing you examples of this. We're going to go 1-2, Dimitrov serving in the second set. It's deuce. Dimitrov is going to hit an incredible plus one forehand. He's going to hit another attacking forehand behind it. And still, he is going to be countered. Here it is, the serve. It's a good return by Sinner, but Dimitrov with a baseline half volley, that was absolutely sweet. And you can tell by what Sinner has to do on the next ball. He is sliding, open stance backhand, out of the corner, well behind the baseline. Dimitrov gets a forehand on the next ball. He's going to go inside in. He still has Sinner scrambling. But Yannick, this time, is able to get in good enough position and find enough balance on the running forehand that he gets quite a bit on what will be a counter-attacking forehand cross court. And Dimitrov, who was really looking for a short ball, another ball to attack, and he's not going to get it. He's going to be put on the run. And now he has a desperate forehand, which he puts in the net. Break point. This is the next point. Dimitrov with a first serve. Good return by Sinner. It's actually a very similar point because Dimitrov is just excellent on what is a high degree of difficulty plus one forehand inside in. That once again puts Sinner on the run into his forehand corner. Yannick is able to pretty much neutralize here. Yannick, heavy down the line forehand, deep into Dimitrov's backhand, gets the error. What I wanted to point out there was really just how good Sinner's defense was. Sinner could take Dimitrov's best punches. And that is where the problem, the biggest problem, among others, really lied for Dimitrov. Tennis Insights tracks how successful a player is when they attack. So I obviously looked for that after watching the match, just seeing how many points Sinner was winning from defensive positions. Dimitrov being 3-for-7 at net in the first set. Is another stat that I can throw your way. But ultimately, Dimitrov's conversion score was 49% against Sinner, which means on points that he was able to attack, he won 49% of those points. His average conversion score in Miami heading into the final was 73%. So, of course, you can flip it around. Sinner's steal score, how often he was able to win after having to defend, 51%, absolutely excellent. These are points I'm talking about where Sinner didn't make great returns, right? And therefore had to defend, either that or Dimitrov came up with a plus one that put Sinner on defense despite a pretty good return. But there's a separate category of points where Dimitrov couldn't get the first ball forehand that he was looking for. The break at 3-5, Sinner won 2 points off of big returns outright. The break at 1-4, Sinner made Dimitrov hit first ball backhands on 3 of the last 4 points. Dimitrov missed one of those plus one backhands. The other two he struck very nicely, ended up losing those points from attacking positions. But I think I've already shown you enough examples of that happening already. I thought the returning was going to be a bigger key for Sinner in this match. I was very curious after Dimitrov aced Zverev 18 times, was able to take the racket out of Alcaraz's hands with his plus one forehand. I was curious to see, would Sinner be able to kind of get into more neutral rallies against Dimitrov? Turns out it wasn't as important as I thought. The neutralizing returns from Sinner were just an occasional bonus. The reality was he could drop a return short and get away with it because that's how good his scrambling would end up being. Now, from the baseline, when they did get into neutral situations, I also want to point out something that Sinner did a whole lot better than Alcaraz did, which is setting the backhand-to-backhand pattern. Sinner can comfortably take his forehand down the line without taking on a lot of risk, and he had the presence of mind to do that often. There was a constant awareness from Jannik Sinner's end that he wanted Dimitrov to hit as many backhands as possible. So versus Alcaraz, Dimitrov hit 90 forehands and 69 backhands. That is 57% forehands. Against Sinner, 70 forehands, 74 backhands, 49% forehands. There is an 8% difference in how often Dimitrov was able to get his forehand into play. It's impressive that Sinner made him hit more backhands than forehands, considering what Grigor does with his footwork. Even though Dimitrov only hit 51% backhands, a much higher percentage of Sinner's balls landed on the ad side of the court towards Grigor's backhand. Tennis Channel showed a Hawkeye graphic at the start of the second set that showed 58% of Sinner's ground strokes landed in Dimitrov's backhand third. He had that presence of mind, which Alcaraz lacked a little bit. Why was that a good thing for Sinner? Well, just look at the backhand unforced errors statistic at the end of the match. Dimitrov hit 12, Sinner hit 0. Of course, Jannik wants to trade backhands with Dimitrov. The stability on that side, the ability to maintain depth and to keep the ball in the court, it's not a contest between these two. So, of course, it's going to benefit Sinner to get the ball there and to keep it there on Dimitrov's backhand. Let's hit Jannik serving real quick. What I was thinking about mostly throughout the match was how Sinner is the best body serve practitioner on tour. It is neglected by a lot of players. A lot of players just don't even hit it. We talked about Sinner using it against Medvedev, who is specifically uncomfortable with it when he is in a return position that he has spent a lot of his career, especially in the last five or so years, specifically avoiding that closer return position, opening himself up for the body serve. Dimitrov is someone who stands even closer in, and Sinner was not about to go away from the body serve in this matchup either. Here is the spread visually, again, for those watching on YouTube, where you can see Sinner's first serve location. First of all, again, the backhand return is being attacked on a really, really consistent basis. He's going to the forehand as a changeup, as an occasional play, just to make it so that Dimitrov can't completely disregard the possibility that Sinner might serve to his forehand. You still want to just maintain an ounce of unpredictability. But for Sinner, mixing it up was not going to be the game plan here. It was going to be to mostly just pound Dimitrov's backhand return and also mix in the body serve. Seven body serves, if you look at just the first delivery, and he won 6 out of the 7 points. Sinner averaged 125 miles per hour on his first serve. It doesn't matter that he only made 56%. He won 88%. That is a great serving day. Dimitrov came out driving the second serve return. Against Alcaraz, he was driving it. Against Zverev, he was chipping it to start, and then he started driving it. And against Sinner, again, I think it's a sign of respect. He knew that he needed to play his very, very best, and that would mean being aggressive and offensive on the second return. What did Alcaraz not do until it was far too late? The body serve. What did Sinner do on his second serve? A ton of body serves. Grigor needs to take the ball early if he wants to get on top of the kick serve. So slicing it hard into the body is the remedy. There's a couple times on the ad side where he'd go hard straight into the forehand. But for the most part, the goal for Sinner on the second serve was just to jam up Dimitrov on that backhand side. So it was great serving tactics by Sinner in this one. You put it all together, in my opinion, this was a performance of the year candidate from Jannik Sinner. We'll have to see. That is a category on the Monday Match Analysis Awards, performance of the year. It usually goes to a dominant performance, usually by a top player in a big match. This checked all those boxes. And I did not get the sense that Dimitrov no-showed. Grigor made 64% of his first serves. As I mentioned, he went after his second returns. He successfully got himself into attacking positions. He used the forehand at every opportunity with deadly intention, and he looked to finish at the net. He did all of this without being overly wasteful or erratic. He was offensive-minded, never scared, never passive, always decisive, and he executed decently well. He still got crushed. I would argue this match was incredibly entertaining given the scoreline because Dimitrov did come up with excellence on numerous occasions. His final two holds of serve were oozing with quality. I know that seems weird to say. They were quite far apart. You know, it was the second game of the second set. It was the 2-4 game in the first set. But like every single point on those service games, he earned. And that's what it took. When it has to be that good all the time because you aren't extracting any errors out of your opponent, the math is never going to be in your favor. It won't be in your favor. Dimitrov couldn't get Sinner to miss. Jannik was a brick wall in this match. He was happy to make high percentage choices, trust his defense, focus on getting the ball into Dimitrov's backhand, a clear strategy when it came to serving, and he displayed big-time shot-making on big-time points. It was a masterpiece from start to finish. It was a gear that I don't think Dimitrov on his best day can reach. And it was a really good indication of why Jannik Sinner has been almost impossible to beat over the course of the last 6 months. Incredible. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.